This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Hey folks, today's show is all about property and casualty insurance and what type of coverage you need when you live in a condo versus a homeowners association. Who pays for the insurance and what's covered under the policy? What's admitted coverage versus not admitted coverage? And frankly, what is a master policy all about? It's that and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And our guest today, we're very excited to have Chris Sanders. He's the CEO of Aegis Insurance Group. And he has a lot of experience, like 30 years experience in dealing with multiple types of insurances, right, Chris?
I am getting a little old.
You don't look that old.
You started very, very young, I know.
Been doing it a long time.
Yes, I know. You're still young, though. All right, annuities, health insurance, auto, life, but most importantly, property and casualty insurance. So just to start out, first of all, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
And
thanks, Chris. He was running late today, too, Peter. I mean, I think he got here like 2 minutes after. I was starting to get worried that I would...
The traffic
is
horrible.
It absolutely happens. The traffic is horrible.
Yes, it is.
From north to south, it's absolutely terrible.
I know. So he has a good excuse this time.
It was a wild ride getting
But
here.
The important thing is that you're here, and that's all that
he
matters.
He made it. There you go.
That's right. So why don't we start by you, please, defining property and casualty insurance to our audience.
Well, property and casualty insurance, the property part being the physical part of a structure, buildings, homes, anything that we would have to replace as far as a building goes, in contents and so forth, would be the property part. And
so the property is going to be like the furnishings and the actual physical components of it.
Right, the physical components of a building, structure, interiors, and so forth. And then the casualty part is where we come and we pick up what you could be liable for as an insured. So if someone tripped on over your garden hose at your home or at a condominium association, someone might want to litigate against you, and that's where the coverage comes from, the casualty aspect.
Which is the GL policy, right?
Right, general liability.
Yeah, all right. So I've heard this term before, but if you could just explain what's admitted coverage versus non-admitted coverage. What's the advantages and disadvantages?
Well, and admitted, you have admitted and non-admitted coverages, and the admitted coverages is really what we're talking about there is we're talking about carriers, insurance carriers, and whether they are participating in the Florida Guarantee Fund. And that would they would be considered an admitted carrier if they participate in that. So on the other side of the coin, you have the non-admitted carriers. And those carriers are like Lloyd's of London, Essex. You know, they're very strong financially. However, they don't play by the same rules, and they're not backed up by the guarantee fund.
Okay, so you mentioned, you know, participation in the what, the Florida fund, or what was that called?
Florida Guarantee Fund.
Guarantee Fund. So can you talk about that?
So the guarantee fund is something that carriers that are admitted carriers, that they, a portion of the premiums that you pay them, they pay into the guarantee fund. So if worst case scenario would be if a big storm hit and it took, and an insurance carrier took a big loss in a certain area, that might just drain their reserves.
Kind of wipe them out.
Wipe them out. And if they were to be wiped out, the question would be, well, when the reserves are gone, who's going to pay for it, any damages? Well, in that particular case, that's what the guarantee fund is there for. It's to back these carriers up. They participate in it, and it's there to back them.
So okay. the pros and the cons, admitted versus not admitted, is that if a condo association gets an admitted policy and we get hit with a big hurricane, which, you know, we're all overdue on that. In fact, we dodged a bullet with Irma, you know, last year. So we get hit with a big hurricane, and there's $1 billion worth of damage out there. Admitted coverage is backed by the Florida Guarantee Fund, so therefore they've got coverage regardless if the insurance company goes bankrupt or not.
Correct.
Whereas non-admitted coverage, like Lloyd's, which is a very strong company, Lloyd's of London, but they've got a non-admitted policy that they sell a lot here, and you know, and usually it's more expensive than the admitted coverage.
Right. Oh, it's more expensive, and there you have it. You don't have any. There's nothing to back you up if the reserves go down. And the one thing about Lloyd's of London, these large companies, is that they're syndicated. So in Florida, you may have hundreds, and you do, and hundreds of Lloyd's of London markets.
And they could bankrupt that one particular syndication and still be around.
Because they're such a big company.
Right.
And it just so happened that that particular market where they've made the deal with a certain wholesale broker, and that's the syndicate, and they've written heavy on the beaches, and that just so happened to be the beach that got hit. Well, there's a good chance that they're going to lose a lot of money.
So right. They're more expensive. The policy is more expensive with these.
They tend to be more. They tend to be coverage. More expensive, and sometimes they can get competitive with the admitted carriers. However, if you have a choice to have a policy that's backed up by something, you take the one that's backed up, and an admitted carrier is backed up by the Florida Guarantee Fund.
Okay. We always recommend our condos and you know homeowners associations, especially the property coverage,
right,
is backed up by an admitted carrier.
To have enough coverage, it's important.
Right.
I mean, the non-admitted carriers play a big role. You know, they don't just do property; they do a lot of the casualty as well.
Right.
And with a lot of condo associations, you're going to find that the non-admitted carriers are big players there. But you don't have to. You know, if you have a big storm that wipes all the property out, the chances of them wiping out the reserves for on the liability aspect is not very big.
No, right.
So,
but the property with a non-admitted carrier, if a high-rise building gets completely destroyed, or let's say all of St. Pete Beach does, you know, all down the coastline, a non-admitted carrier it could get wiped out and not be able to pay the policy damages, the claims.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, I know we've talked about, policies for condos and especially in particular condos, but HOAs in general. And they always refer to that policy as a master policy. What is a master policy for our listeners, Chris?
Well, you know, that's kind of loaded, what a master policy
it's
is.
It's a loaded question, but for you, I know you can handle it.
Well, you know, a master policy, I often think of a master policy as where you have multiple associations, and they have some common grounds that they share. So let's say a recreation center, a pool, a gym, that would be what we would consider a master association. And
okay, so a master, you mean common elements?
It would be a common element, but it would be something that some of the other associations share, this one okay. particular master that has the common grounds.
Okay.
Then each association will have their own insurance programs for the building and liability and so forth. But the master is typically set up for this small association that's just handling the pool and the recreation area, and it's often referred to as the master association.
But it's also referred to, and correct me if I'm wrong, when a homeowner gets a policy, maybe a contents policy, that individual insurance company that's writing for that contents policy always refers back to the master, right?
Right.
Which the master would be the master for that particular association. In the scheme of things, I know exactly where you're coming from on that. But
right. And, you know, and we're getting a lot of requests from mortgage companies, lenders.
Right.
And they refer to it as a master policy often. But, you know, from the insurance side, we look at a master policy as more of where you have multiple associations with a centerpiece of a pool and recreation area. And that's their master association, which with individual associations having their own coverage.
Okay. All right. So we've talked about flood insurance and that sort of thing. So what about wind coverage? How important is it? And then talk about the deductibles on that.
Well, the wind coverage, it can be bought separately, but it depends. It depends on where you live. Here in Pinellas County, in this particular area, we have barrier islands. And so anything that is intercoastal waters outward is considered barrier islands. Mm-hmm. And those are considered what they call X wind. So a policy can be written without wind for one part of the coverage. And then you can purchase wind all by itself as a standalone.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Now, is that advisable? Advisable.
You may not have a choice. You know, you get down on the beach, and often they're layered. It's kind of a la carte type of thing. Mm-hmm. You're buying hazard on the hazard, mm-hmm. the fire, theft, vandalism type of policy on one, and then the wind you'll buy separately. And sometimes it's a pricing issue. Some carriers will do both, but because it's in that area, it can be written that way. It's mm-hmm. just the rules that, you know, a carrier that comes in can write that policy as a hazard only, just straight hazard, X out the wind, and that's what we call it, X wind area. And then you can buy wind as a standalone. You can buy it non-admitted. You can buy it.
Is it advisable, though, to buy it non-admitted?
Well,
because, I mean, that's where the damage is going to come from, right?
It depends on what's available. And often when you're in a wind pool, the wind pool areas like that, what's available? Non-admitted and Citizens Insurance typically.
Right.
So,
well, typically they have a choice, though. I mean, the Citizens is still considered to be the last resort.
It is the last resort.
For admitted coverage. So if you can't find admitted coverage elsewhere, you can get it at Citizens, right?
Right. You can get if there's an admitted offer on the table, you have to go with the admitted coverage if it's available.
But if there's an admitted non-offer on the table, you can still go with an admitted coverage. You can still go with Citizens, which is admitted and backed by the guarantee fund.
Well, Citizens is not that's a fine line. Citizens is not an admitted carrier per se.
But they're owned by the state.
But that's our government program. Right. And they're backed up by the taxpayers, all of us sitting right here.
Right.
And so if they run short of money, they, you know, that's where they get it from, the taxpayers. And they also get it from anyone that has property and casualty coverage, you know, through assessments. And those assessments are across the board, anything property and casualty, auto, all of it. There's right. always little fees, and you can see it on your auto policy, little assessment fees. Like you wonder, what is that fee? That's a fee that feeds the Citizens Insurance pool. And it is the last resort, and we prefer not to go there if we don't have to.
Yeah.
But when you're down on the beach area, you're on, when we're talking wind coverage, often it's going to be, you're going to have a program that comes in and writes the hazard, and then you're going to have the wind that is probably going to be Citizens. It just depends. It's a pricing point as well.
Well, what about the deductibles?
The deductibles for commercial property, 3%, 5%, 10%, that's, you know, the norms.
It's a pretty healthy number, but it's also predicated on the building value, correct?
Correct. So
explain that to our listeners.
So a lot of times, you know, you'll get a claim, and we just had Irma come through. So some people were dealing with this, whether it was on your condo, a condominium association, a homeowner's, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. And after the adjuster comes out, you see this very high deductible and people have problems with that because it was wind. So when you take a wind deductible, you say 5% of the claim is what most people think it is. You know, it's like, wait, my claim was only $100,000. I'm only out 5%. My deductible is $5,000. Well, no, it's 5% of the building, the value of the structure. And that could be, if you have a $1 million structure, your deductible is $50,000.
Or $10 million structure, your deductible could be $500,000. Exactly. If it's 5%.
Right.
I mean, we had
right.
a situation where one of our high rises on the beach got hit with a tornado, and it was about $800,000 or $900,000 worth of damage. None of it. All fell below the 5% wind deductible.
Because of the value of, yes. the, of the structure.
Yeah, and that hurt, too. You know, it hurt the association. They had to do a special assessment in order to repair that roof.
Right.
And now they're thinking twice about getting some sort of supplement policy. Obviously reduce it from 5 to 3, but then there's also supplement policies that you can pick up right, to cover the deductible.
Right, the wind buyback program.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Peter, I think we have a caller on the line.
Here we go.
Hi, you've got the Ameritech connection. I've got a tongue tied here. So do you have a question for Chris? Hello?
Did you hang up on us?
Did you hang up?
That's all right.
This is the Ameritech connection. Who is this?
This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. You have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I live in a condo, and I have a really expensive dining room set in my condo, and the roof leaked. The association is responsible for the roof, and it leaked, and it destroyed my dining room table. Shouldn't the association's insurance be responsible for that, or is my homeowner's responsible for
Good
that?
Good question, Chris.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question, because we have things that happen like this. It's, you know, it's not always a roof leak, and I'm sorry you had that problem. You know, it's going to come down to, you had a roof leak. The association, based on the Florida statutes, condominiums are the FL 718 statute, and they're pretty clear about who's responsible for what in there. So you have a roof leak, the association takes care of the roof leak. And it leaks down and it ruins your drywall. And the association's going to be responsible to clear out the damaged drywall and put some drywall back in there for you.
But what about the table? Because
well, that's what I'm waiting for. Yeah. Right. So get to that. Because she doesn't want to put a piece of plastic over this
now,
table,
The association, we know that the association's responsible for the roof.
Right.
So if their roof leaks
and
causes damage, what's
right.
up?
That's the big question. And unfortunately, the association's not responsible for the contents inside of your home. That is the responsibility of each individual homeowner. And you can cover that through
a contents policy.
Yes.
So through no fault of the association, in essence, the roof leaks. Just leaks, you know. I mean, things happen, right?
Right.
And it leaks down to this expensive table that, what's her name?
Kathy's has online. An expensive
Kathy,
dining room
you have
an
expensive dining room table. You're yes, stuck with it. You got to replace that table, Kathy. I'm sorry. Now, if they refuse or don't repair the leak and they know it's a faulty leak and damage is then caused, then there's a certain degree of negligence or liability on the part of the association. And I believe in that case, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, the association would be responsible to replace any damage caused by their negligence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So say it leaks again, you know, if it happens again, then they might be responsible for whatever gets damaged.
I'm not sure I would say yes to that. I mean, if they make a good faith effort to try to repair the roof and for whatever reason that roof doesn't get fixed, you know, and they're out there and they're chasing leaks, and I know how it is with roofs. You know, you could be out there chasing leaks, looking for leaks everywhere, and then every time it rains, it still leaks. So it's more likely if they refuse to actually or they ignore you, you know, then at which point I think you got a cause for negligence on their part.
Kathy, I hope we've answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Flood insurance. What's up with flood insurance? Is it required by law, Chris?
Flood insurance is not required by law. It's most often it's required by a lender. However, when you get into condo associations or homeowner associations that have property that is in low areas in a they call special hazard an A zone, and you get you have a property there, well, you know, based on what the statutes say that govern condominiums, it says that you're supposed to buy coverage, the best available coverage that's out there. And in that particular case, you're in a hazard zone, and the association should be buying flood insurance, unless it's something that's just there's no way in the world their budget could do it. But
is it required by law? I mean, does Florida law say you have to buy flood insurance?
Florida law does not say you have to buy the flood insurance.
So what happens is if there's a high rise on the beach and it's in a flood zone, the board of directors has a fiduciary obligation per Florida statutes to protect that building as much as they can and buy whatever available insurance is available for them, right?
Right.
But if you had 100% of the owners say, we don't want flood insurance and we're willing to take the risk, and the buildings were completely paid off, there was no mortgage company, right? Because the mortgage companies usually are the ones that force place the flood insurance, correct?
Right.
Then they could get away without buying flood insurance. Because as you know, flood insurance could be a hefty premium on the beach.
It could be a very hefty premium. Yeah. Right. And you've got to be careful on the when you have a flood insurance policy, that you're in a special hazard, and the board is doing their due diligence and buying the best available coverage that's out there, and they have it for many years. Say, for instance, a building was built in the 80s, and the building has flood insurance, and it's had it continuously, and somebody, you know, something happens, something doesn't get paid, a board changes, a management company changes, something happens, and it slips through the cracks. Well, there's some rules with flood insurance to go ahead and keep that coverage. So if you have an effective date, whatever the effective date is, you have up to 30 days to pay that premium. And even if something happened in that 30 days, as long as you paid the premium within the 30 days, they would cover the problem.
That's interesting. Let's pick that up as soon as we come right back for a 2-minute commercial break. Right, Peter?
Absolutely. Here we go.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection, folks. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Chris Sanders. He's the CEO of Aegis Insurance Group. And today's topic is all about property insurance required for condos and homeowners associations. Now, just before we went on commercial break, we talked a little bit about flood insurance. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were getting very, very long-winded.
But that's what we want, Chris, so keep it up.
So with that in mind, go ahead and finish, Chris, on your thoughts on the flood insurance. And I know we were talking a little bit about the grandfather policy as well.
Right. We were talking about grandfathering and, you know, and basically when a building is built back in the 80s, whatever the flood zone was at the time is what it was built out at. And what they'll do is throughout, as long as there's continuous coverage over the years, you whatever it was built at is what you get to keep. That's your elevation. But what could happen is something can get paid, and an association find that they're right on the beach, and it was originally written on an A zone, and now they call that an AV zone, which is the V stands for velocity, high velocity of water could come in and really do some damage. So it's much more expensive. And, you know, I think of one, about $5,000 annually, and they had that since the inception. And something happened, it didn't get paid, and it was $50,000. So we were able to fix that. We were able to get some things done and get the thing back to where it was, but it's not something you want to take a chance. The federal government's pretty strict about what they allow if something like that happens.
All right, then I have a question for you. What is flood insurance rate map?
Well, the rate map, they call it a firm. And what that is where the federal government periodically, they will come out and they will redo the maps where things have changed, you know, satellite imaging and so forth. And they can see an area that was not a special hazard, was not a flood zone. Now a flood zone is encroaching on it, and now it's in the special hazard. So they're changing. That's the maps are constantly changing.
Well, they have to be updated.
Well, the rates are changing, too, if the maps are changing, right?
Absolutely. I would think so. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's what that is. That's when the federal government comes in. They send their teams out, and they map the area and the elevations, and they're remapping it basically. Sometimes it could be in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's not.
So you were just saying earlier that it's not required to have flood insurance. So I was just thinking, if you don't have it, and let's say we had a storm and your roof gets ripped off from that storm, and your unit gets flooded, what happens? I mean, you don't have what goes on?
Is that covered under wind, or do you have to have flood for that?
Well,
you know, the example is the roof gets ripped off, water comes tumbling in because of the wind damage from the roof.
Right. So that's not a flood. So yeah. That's not a flood. That would be wind damage. So if you had high winds, it would fall under whatever your wind deductible is. And say you had a roof that got peeled up, water comes cascading in, starts damaging everything, and that would be a wind claim.
Okay. All right. So that falls under the wind, not the flood, because it's not being flooded. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense.
Now, rising water is where we're talking about flood, and that's where the water just keeps coming and coming and coming up and up and up, right? And it starts flooding out, kind of like what happened in New Orleans, obviously.
Right. And that can do a lot of damage, not just getting into a structure and getting everything wet. You're talking a lot of water, and it can wash out the substructure. So you have a concrete slab often that's poured, and a building is erected on it. And when you get floodwaters washing in and out, and high pressure and just volume, it can wash out the underlayment. And next thing you know, the whole building's tilted. And sometimes you can fix it. Sometimes you got to tear the whole building down.
Right, right. I mean, we're probably, what, 2 or 3 months from hurricane season? So now is the time. Yeah, so now is the time to kind of look at your insurance policies and make sure you've got, your wind deductibles taken care of, and make sure that you have flood insurance. I know a lot of people buy flood insurance, and they're not in a flood zone. Is that a smart thing to do?
You know, here in Florida, we're in a flood. The whole state's a flood zone.
Well, it's awfully flat, is what you're saying.
It's awfully flat, and
low
God
elevation.
Forbid we got a really big one that came into Tampa.
Right.
You know, the surge. You could have very high surges. Like in 2004, I think they predicted when Charlie was supposed to come through this area. I think they had mentioned that we were going to get a 14-foot storm surge.
Oh, wow.
So you think about that, you know, where you live, if you're in an A zone or a B zone, and what 14 foot high, where that water is down there, 14 foot higher on your property, it would be devastating.
Oh, of course.
It'd
yeah.
be devastating.
I was new to Florida at the time. I didn't take that hurricane very seriously. We were throwing a neighborhood party, you know.
Yeah, it's called a hurricane party.
Yeah, yeah, it was called a hurricane party, and we had a lot of fun.
I had a few myself, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, I think you've kind of answered this already, but if you live in a flood zone and you're on the 20th floor of a building, is it still required to have flood insurance if you're that high up? I mean, I guess you've kind of answered that, but...
Well, you know, that, again, this
comes
down
That's a good question, though. I live on the 10th floor. What the hell do I need to buy flood insurance for, right?
That's right.
I mean, right.
And
but you do because of the roof, right?
Well,
no, because he's saying the building's going to start to tilt and fall over.
Yeah, what would happen? You wouldn't get much. Now, the association, let's take that as an example. That's a great one, Mike. You have a building. Let's say that something did happen to the substructure and it did start to tilt and it ruined the building. Well, you have a policy for your condo on the 10th floor and all your beautiful furnishings and so forth. However, the building's tilting. Maybe your stuff could be saved, your furniture, but the inside trim out of your unit would be on you. You would have to... take care of that repair yourself, and that could cost you at least $50 a square foot to trim.
Yeah, that's
after
interesting.
They built the building mm-hmm. back for you.
Yep.
So do you need flood insurance? It would be very inexpensive if you lived on the 10th floor personally, but the question is, does the condo need it, the 10-story condo need it? Well, they need it because they could lose the substructure and all kind of damage below, and you'd want some coverage for that.
That makes a lot of sense. Right. Yeah, things that we don't think about every day. So.
Sure.
Let's take a call. Peter, we got somebody on the air?
Yeah, we got Katamina on the line. Go ahead.
Katamina,
hi.
How you doing? Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
My question is, I live in a condo, and I'm not sure if something happens to my personal furnishing. Is it covered under the condo policy, or am I required to buy my own insurance policy?
That's a great question. In that particular scenario, you need to have your own coverage. The condo association will cover the structure, but they do not cover the inside of the unit. What they would pay for is they would pay for the partitions and drywall and so forth to get it back to the way it was built. But when you open the door after they rebuild the structure, you're going to see a concrete floor or a wood floor. You're going to see, you know, basic drywall. It's going to have to be trimmed out. Your vanities, the kitchen's all going to have to be reinstalled. And that would be on you. But for you, your own personal, your clothing and your furniture, and so forth, your keepsakes, you know, that you want to get some coverage for that. And it often, it's inexpensive.
A contents policy, which would cover the bathrooms and the sinks and the kitchens and vanities, and plus her furnishings and clothing. I mean, what, like $300 or $400 a year?
$300-$400 starting, and you know they can get higher depending. Because remember, when you're in a condominium association, your policy is required to trim out the, you know, once the building's rebuilt. So you need $50 a square foot of what they call coverage A to trim it out and get your building back up to, you know, the inside painted and textured. But your furniture is a separate part of that coverage, and you can pick how much you want to.
So the more you go, obviously, the higher the face value of the policy, the more the premium is going to be.
Correct.
Right.
And then another thing, so the answer to your question is that you need to have your own coverage for your own personal items and so forth inside of the unit. However, when you purchase a policy, an HO6 for a condo, if you're a renter, it's an HO4. But these programs have built-in casualty. They have built-in liability coverage for you, and you might need that someday. You know, I don't know. If you're a bad golfer like me, you might shank it and hit somebody.
I'm not sure what that means, though.
I haven't gone golfing with you yet, but I hear you're a pretty good golfer.
That's like a scene from Happy Gilmore.
Exactly.
That was a good one.
I guess the old saying is like, yeah, I'm not that great of a golfer, but I did hit somebody once, and that was I felt, you know.
Well, at least you hit something.
Hit something. That's right. So, but if you did that and you were out and about, and they're like, oh, hey, you know, that's Mike Perez. I know him. Well, that would be a problem because they could litigate. They could litigate against you for hurting them. You know, but often softball, if you play a soccer team, you know, adult soccer, I mean, things, people can get hurt. And if they got hurt bad enough, they'd say you did it. And you're just.
Well, yeah, you got all these PI attorneys. I mean, you're laying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't sleep. And who comes popping up? That personal injury attorney, right?
That's right.
Can't sleep. Leg is up and can't walk, you know.
That's right. So we like to get people back to work. We don't want them sitting around watching TV and listening to that because it's not good for you. Keep you going. But I hope I answered your question.
You did.
All right. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Catalina.
All right, Peter, I think we have another caller on the line.
Yeah, we got Rita on the line. Go ahead, Rita.
Hi, Rita. You've got the Ameritech connection. Do you have a question for Chris?
Yes, I do. I serve on a board of a condo association.
Good
and
for you.
Our insurance company, the board, help them out.
God bless you for doing that.
Our insurance company will not renew our policy until we replace the roof. Can they do that?
Well, you've had some experience with that, Chris.
Yes, you have.
Well, Rita, unfortunately, they can do that. And then, you know, that can put you in a situation to where, you know, you had a great admitted program. It was affordable, a lot of coverage, a lot of bells and whistles in these programs. And next thing you know, that the roofs aren't up to snuff, and they want them replaced. So then they can't. So they non-renew you, and then your agent has to shop it around for the next best thing. Often in that case, what I do is I go to Citizens. I mean, I would prefer not to take you to Lloyd's of London for the property side, but I'll take it to Citizens. And even Citizens is going to have, you know, if there's issues and they're in disrepair, you know, they're going to give you a little bit of time.
Keep in mind, Rita, you know, Florida statute says the board of directors has a fiduciary obligation to maintain the common elements. And part of that is maintaining the roof. I mean, if your roof is bad to the extent that the insurance company is going to either non-renew you or not write the policy, maybe you might want to think about replacing that roof. I mean, and I know a lot of times, typically, you know, boards don't have the funds. But again,
right,
the statutes are clear when it comes to maintaining the common elements. Even if you have to go to the extent of special assessing all of the homeowners, that roof must be replaced. And you've got an obligation to do that.
Okay. Well, I guess I need to present that to the board then.
Yes. That
yes.
would be a good
well,
idea.
You're on the board, so, you know, you need to push that
well,
aspect.
Yeah. Okay. Present it to the, my peers.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right, Rita. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back in 2 minutes.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in overtreating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, today we have Chris Sanders. He's the CEO of Aegis Insurance Group. And we're talking about property insurance and what's required for condos and homeowners associations. So I'm going to go right into board members. They need to obviously be protected. So what type of coverage protects them against lawsuits?
That's a great question. You know, the one thing, you know, what's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished. You know, on these boards, you know,
they don't get a big paycheck,
right.
So they should have some protection, right?
That's
right. Unappreciated.
That's right. And you know, it's not the easiest job, but thank goodness, you know, you got people that participate in their community and they want to get involved and they join a board for the betterment of the community, and. So, and then, you know, they've got to, they take the good and the bad with that. But I always recommend to anybody that even thinks about getting on a board is to ask the association for a copy of their directors and officers coverage. And that's very important. And if an association doesn't have that coverage, never join the board. You can personally be held responsible for decisions a board makes. So if you're on a board, you've got to have this coverage because they could make a decision that could be have a bad consequence for the association, and someone might want to sue them. For instance, someone might the board may decide to put speed bumps in to slow down some traffic, and you know, when they put this,
and a heavy set guy in a Corvette comes in with a lot of groceries and bottoms out his Corvette, right?
That's right. Exactly it.
And yeah. We've had that happen, believe it or not, and then he's threatened to sue the board for putting in the speed bumps in the first place.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that he was speeding over the speed bump, right?
Not to mention, he was going too fast. You shouldn't have a lot of groceries in a Corvette.
You're supposed to have your foot on the brake.
He should have been hitting the gym. That's all I'm saying. No, I'm kidding.
Why was he going home?
That's right.
But you know, it could happen. And one that I can think that did happen was where they put a speed bump. It was too close to the person's driveway, and the person just went ballistic and literally got a lawyer and sued the board and said, you diminished my property value by putting that speed bump in front. It's that hideous speed bump.
And he won?
I would doubt that he would win, but I don't think, and correct me if I'm
wrong. I
wouldn't
want a speed bump right outside of my driveway.
But it's not so much as that the board's got an obligation to do certain things that they feel is in the best interest and the safety and welfare of the community. Now, I think the problem is that what happens is it's not so much that they're going to win the lawsuit. It's the defense and cost to defend these lawsuits.
Right.
And that's where the directors and officers insurance policy would pick up.
Well, isn't it just easier to move the speed bump between the two houses? I mean, versus going to court.
But then you got the next door neighbor now. They're going to sue.
No, between the properties. So it's not nearer, you know, it's not outside of anybody's drive.
I think that one they actually won and had to move. They had to move it. And there was some damages because it was just too close to the driveway. And it was something probably the asphalt company didn't do a great job. But what the problem was the board was having none of it. When the owner came in and said, why did you put that thing right in front of my driveway? And then that's when the fight started, and they were like, we're not moving it. Well, they ended up moving it, and it was expensive. It would cost the association some money to move it, and they got sued over it.
They probably had to pay his legal fees as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing is,
did their D&O insurance cover them on that?
Yeah, their D&O came to the rescue. Had they not had D&O, each board member would have been sued along with her spouse.
Wow.
Possibly.
Bless you.
And wait, along with their spouse?
That's right. You're on a board. Your spouse can be drug into a lawsuit easily. And that's what D&O, the good D&O is the ones I write. Okay.
Insurance writes
that's right.
Policies.
So if you need a good insurance agent, call Chris Sanders, Aegis Insurance. What's your phone number?
I was just going to say, what's your cell? No, I'm kidding.
727-216-4088. Call anytime. Love to give you a quote. Right. But yes, I mean, these things, you know, bad things can happen. And, you know, we're in a sue happy world and things do happen. I'll give you another quick E&O or a D&O claim that happened to an association with a homeowner association. Someone was building a fence, but it's this beautiful PVC fence up, and the PVC fence, you know, one of the board members saw it, called the property manager and said, hey, you know what, our bylaws say you can't have that fence, so get over there and tell him to stop to not build that fence. So that's exactly what they did. And, you know, by then the fence is almost done. And he said, you know, you're not allowed to have a fence. You're going to have to take it down. The guy was like, well, I'm not going to take it down. You know, and he said, we're going to take it down or we're going to, you know, start our proceedings and hammer it out. And
sue him.
So, but before the association could make the move, he made the move. And he filed a lawsuit for discrimination. And, you know, you start scratching your head.
Why? Because his fence was white and not green or something?
I think it has to be wood and not PVC, right?
No. What he said there was discrimination was what happened was a prior board member had a fence almost identical put in on their property several years earlier, and nothing was ever said. So he put one in. And then something was said, and it created a big fight. And Mike, as you know, you get boards together and they may, you know, you have members in there, board members and the community, and start feeling, oh, this is just frivolous and we're not going to stand for this and we're going to fight with every tooth and nail we can fight with. Well, that's what happened. They kept pushing it.
Well, they have the funds of the association sometimes, and you know, and there is at times selective enforcement where, you know, you get one board that gets on there to get certain architectural changes made, and then the new board gets on there and then they revert back and change it. Meanwhile, the poor resident that wanted the fence doesn't get his fence, but he sees that a prior board member has the same identical fence. So, yeah, that's a lawsuit that most associations will lose if they're sued on that regard. But I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well, they did lose. And they did lose? Cost $100,000.
Oh, wow.
It was a $7,000 fence, and not only did the association end up paying for the guy's fence, it cost him $100,000 in claim.
Wow.
Because, as you said, Mike, that was the whole thing. It was litigation where the money was.
That's
it was
the
back
money
and
is,
forth.
Right.
And, when you get a board together, an association, to make someone move in the right direction, it takes a lot of votes. I'm not sure what's the percentage, but to make them say, let's just settle this and be gone, they wouldn't do it.
The board has the authority to do that. But, you know, you get some stubborn boards out there that just say, no, we're right, we're not going to back off, and they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But
That's how your maintenance fees increase too, because your attorney fees keep
going
up.
And they doubled or tripled their D&O policy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what's a D&O policy typically cost? Is it like $3,000 or $4,000?
They run anywhere from about $1,000 to $3,000, and it depends on how many members are in the community. That's typically how it's looked at. So it's homes, doors, whatever you want to call it, HOA, how many homes, condo association, how many doors, and that's kind of how they look at it, how many members.
What about fidelity coverage? Let's talk real quick about fidelity coverage and a bond that a board of directors or that, you know, condo or HOA association should have.
Sure. The state of Florida requires an association to have to protect the funds that they are in care of. And that's all they're in care of, other people's money. You know, the board, it's the association, the board, and they're bringing in their monthly fees. Well, those monthly fees could end up being $300-$500 million a year in fees coming in. So they're coming in, they're going through a property manager and so forth.
If they steal that money, then at which point that's where that bond comes into play, right?
If someone steals that money, that's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Interesting. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial, 2 minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.